We have here spiritual medication for the heart, for those who are downcast. The letter is written to believers who have been dispersed throughout the ancient world and were under intense persecution. And of all the men who could encourage believers in the midst of their trials, surely Peter is the one to bring encouragement. The apostle Peter knew firsthand what it meant to be beaten, what it meant to be threatened, punished, and jailed simply for believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and staying faithful in following his will. Peter knew what it was to go without, not only during the Christmas season, but at all seasons. Peter knew the temptations of bitterness. He knew heartache. And so here is Peter writing to believers who have been cast out of their homes. They have been pushed forward out of the town that they knew. And now they are strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And as Peter writes to these believers are downcast in spirit. They are discouraged, and perhaps some of them are truly fighting a sincere depression within their soul. And Peter, the fisherman, gives this one piece of advice for believers when he says, casting all your care upon him, that is God, for he, God, careth for you. And you have to appreciate the fisherman illustration here. Peter's a fisherman, and Peter uses the terminology of a fisherman, and he says, believers, as you are discouraged, or as you are dealing with the troubling circumstances of life, you are to, like the net, take it and cast it, and as you cast the net completely into the sea, you leave it. And so you are to do that with God, casting all your care upon the Lord, because the Lord cares for you. With that said, I wish to bring you this morning more of a topical message. I hope a source of encouragement to those of you here who may be facing the Christmas blues. If you in this moment are mentally, emotionally, spiritually cast down at this Christmas time, I want to give you five considerations that I hope will bring encouragement and healing to your soul. Five considerations that really stem from this text in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And perhaps you're here this morning and you are in a season of blessing. You are rejoicing and enjoying constant sweet communion with God. I hope you will take note of these considerations so that you will preach them to your own heart when you do find yourself in the midst of discouragement, and or that you will be equipped to preach these truths to those who are struggling. So consider first this morning, as we look at being downcast at Christmas, consider your struggles are not abnormal. I'm preaching to the one here who wants to enjoy the Christmas season, who sees others singing and praising the Lord, but there's a real darkness over the life. I want you to understand that your struggles are not abnormal. The recipients of Peter's letter were dealing with struggles of their own. They were human beings, and not only were they human beings, they were believers, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, if you will, pulled the rug from under their feet. Where at one moment they were prospering, at one moment they were rejoicing in God's faithful provision, and in the next moment they're facing persecution and now driven to live as pilgrims without. The recipients of Peter's letter are very much normal people. As we look at these Psalms and we consider the author of the Psalms, we see that David and these psalmists were those who went through great struggles. We read of the dark, depressing dungeon of the psalmist crying out, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He's questioning, why am I in this place at all? I am to be worshiping with all of my heart and soul. Why am I feeling so distant from God? Why art thou cast down within me? As we turn to the book of Job, we see that Job was so discouraged that he wished at one point that he was not even born. Job 10:18 says, "Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb?" And he is speaking this to God. "Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me." And Job knew what it was to be discouraged and downcast. Elijah, the great prophet, the preacher of preachers, really, of the Old Testament. Elijah, the one who would be on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses. Elijah found himself so low that Elijah said, and he requested for himself that he might die. He said with his lips, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life." As I mentioned last week, the author of one of our hymns, Henry Longfellow, knew what it was to face discouragement. The author of "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." If you were not here last week, let me repeat that account to you. One of the most familiar carols we hear during the Christmas season is "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." The story behind the song, based on a poem by Henry Longfellow, is interesting. In 1860, Longfellow was at the peak of his success as a poet. Abraham Lincoln had just been elected president, giving hope to many in the nation. But things soon turned dark for America and for Longfellow personally. The Civil War began the following year, and Longfellow's wife died of severe burns after her dress caught fire. Longfellow sustained severe burns on his hands and face from trying to save his wife. He was so badly burned that he could not even attend her funeral. In his diary for Christmas Day 1861, he wrote, "How inexpressibly sad are the holidays." In 1862, the Civil War escalated and the death toll from the war began to mount. In his diary for that year, Longfellow wrote of Christmas, quote, "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but that is no more for me." In 1863, Longfellow's son, who had run away to join the Union Army, was severely wounded and returned home in December. There is no entry in Longfellow's diary for that Christmas. Longfellow wanted to pull out of his despair, so he decided to try to capture the joy of Christmas. And he began by writing, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." As Longfellow came to one stanza, he was stopped by the thought of the condition of his beloved country. The Battle of Gettysburg was not long past. Days looked dark, and he probably asked himself the question, "How can I write about peace on earth, goodwill to men in this war-torn country, where brother fights against brother and father against son?" But he kept writing. And what did he write? He wrote the following. "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men." But then catching an eternal perspective and the real Christmas message, he wrote, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward men." And Henry Longfellow reminds us that despite what dark circumstances may be in our life, there is joy and peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see the reality of what mankind faces. through Job's life, through Elijah's life, through the psalmist's life, through Henry Longfellow's life. And we see that our struggles are not abnormal. And in the secular realm, we know about this. Why does everybody love the movie It's a Wonderful Life? Well, after watching it for the first time myself this past Thanksgiving, I believe it is because many can relate to George Bailey. Many understand the stresses and strains and pressures of life. And sometimes the darkness that creeps into the soul, and then that thought like the psalmist had, the thought like Job had, the thought like Elijah had, why am I even here and what good am I doing here? The curveballs of life are thrown at us and we begin to become downcast. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're here downcast at Christmas, understand your struggles are not abnormal. And then also understand this, God knows and cares. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place. He knows our thoughts afar off. And we may be ignorant as to God's ways. We may be misunderstanding regarding God being a personal God. But as we look at the scriptures, we see that God is the one who knows all, is ruling over all, and is involved in the minute details of our life. And sometimes this can be beyond our understanding as we consider how great God is, and we wonder, how can God be so involved in my life when there are billions of individuals here in this earth? But we see that God is so powerful. God is the Almighty, that He knows and cares for your life and your circumstances individually. When it feels as if He doesn't, He does. He is a God who hears the cries of your heart. If you are here this morning as an unbeliever, an enemy of God, God has demonstrated His love, His care toward you by sending His Son to die in your place. The love message of the Scriptures is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There are many who say to God, God, if You are there and if You care, prove it. And our answer to that is He already has. He has given us life, and He has given us so many physical and temporal blessings, but He's given us eternal life, and He's given us eternal blessings through the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do we know God cares? Because He sent His Son to be the Savior of the world, and He did so for you. Jesus did not come to destroy men's lives. He came to save men's lives. Jesus does not desire that you would be filled with sorrow, but that you would be filled with joy, peace, and hope. If you are God's child, God has written many love letters to you in the pages of His Word. He has given you constant reminders of His love, His provision, and His protection. So as you go through the Christmas downcasting of soul, remember that God knows and cares. Don't listen to the blasphemous language of the popular Christmas songs on the radio about Santa Claus. You know, Santa knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. That is truly a slight against Almighty God. this created mystical figure named Santa Claus does not know all, nor does he see all. It is God, the creator of heaven and earth, who knows all, and he is caring to all. Consider also, as you go through discouragement at Christmas time, understand that others care and are here to help. Yes, God knows and he cares, but others care and are here to help. God, in his infinite wisdom, has given us the community of believers called the local church so that we might be a tangible encouragement to those who are hurting. There are others in this room who have gone through great trials. Trials that we could never imagine as we look at them, as we pass by on Sunday mornings, as we shake hands and say hello. Many times the average church member does not know what another church member has gone through in their life. And boy, if we only knew. And God in his sovereignty has arranged this so that the church might be a source of help and blessing to those who are discouraged. True believers are those who desire to pray for those who are hurting. This has been an exhortation from God himself. You know the one another's and the commands to believers to practice the one another's, to love one another, to bear one another's burdens, to comfort one another, to provoke one another unto love and good works. And so we have in this place called the church, we have a place of refuge. Really, the church is a hospital with many spiritual doctors willing and able to assist any spiritual sickness. This is why I am boggled when those who call themselves believers cut themselves off from the fellowship of such mercy. We're not here to bite and devour one another. We're not here to make each other feel bad on a weekly basis. We're here to build one another up, to edify one another until we see the day approaching. And so if you're discouraged and downcast, know that God is there, but God has instituted his local church so that it might be a tangible source of blessing in your life. Now, don't get your theology all out of whack, but this is true. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Yet the Bible says the church is the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Now, we do not mean this literally. You are not Christ's physical hands in that sense, right? God is a spirit. Christ had a body. But spiritually speaking, we are God's hands. We are God's feet. We are God's ears. We are God's heart. We have Christ living in us, the hope of glory. And so when one is down, we have God and his grace and mercy allowing his people to be there on his behalf. And let me just say, for those suffering, for those hurting, we cannot help if we do not know. And I have heard Christians say, Sunday mornings are the loneliest time of the week for me. And they're speaking about Sunday mornings in the local church. And what they mean is, they are here and they are going through things, but the local church has no idea how to pray, no idea how to help. And so they begin to dwell in self-pity, and they expect people to know. And they expect people to help. But we cannot help if we do not know. How can we battle downcast spirit at Christmas? Well, understand your struggles are not abnormal. Understand that God knows and cares. Understand others care and are here to help. And then understand this, it's always darkest before the dawn. If you miss all the first three points, understand this. This is a repetitive biblical truth. Look at Joseph. We want to speak about Christmas messages, and you may be wondering, why isn't the pastor preaching a nice, fluffy Christmas message? We're 2 days away from Christmas. Well, look at Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. Here's your little sermonette for Christmas. Joseph is confused. He's frustrated. He's discouraged. Joseph is about to divorce his wife secretively. Why? He's in the darkest moment of his life. He ponders if Mary is telling the truth about her pregnancy. Mary is found with child. The Lord has not revealed it yet to Joseph regarding what's going on. Joseph thinks that Mary has been unfaithful, Joseph being a just man, not wanting Mary to go through any unnecessary harm in the society, decides that he will divorce Mary in a private manner. And think of this. We read over this often, but we fail to think about the minute details of the account. Joseph is joyful and happy. He has his espoused wife, Mary. They're going to spend a lifetime together. I mean, think of you and your spouse in the time of your engagement and all the wonderful plans. And here now Mary is expectant. What would you do, husband? Do you propose to your bride-to-be, and then after a while, she's expecting a child, and you know it wasn't from you? Your whole life is crushed, turned upside down. Discouragement. Joseph feels hurt. He feels betrayed. And then the angel of the Lord appears and declares to Joseph that the child inside Mary's womb is the Messiah. Do you see the roller coaster of emotions in Joseph's life? Here he is high, high upon high. He is planning for the future. He has his bride to be. And then Mary is expecting a child. He has no idea what's going on. He feels betrayed. He's hurt. He's confused. And then the angel of the Lord comes. Oh, Joseph, fear not. I'm going to do far more than you could ever ask or think, and I'm going to do it through your home. Do you see how dark it was in Joseph's life? And then do you see the brightness of the glory of God in his life? What is that? It's always darkest before the dawn. Look at Job. Job lost everything. He lost his home. He lost his children. His wife tells him to curse God and die. He loses his wife's support. His friends are really no comforting friends at all. His friends come to him and criticize him. Job's friends think Job is dealing with what he is dealing with because he has sin in his life. He's a hypocrite. They beat him up with their words. And then God reveals his mighty presence and power like Job has never experienced. Job wishes he was not even born. And then the mountaintop experience that Job is taken to by God's Holy Spirit and the revelation that Job has of who God is. It's always darkest before the dawn. Remember the disciples. After they see the Lord crucified and buried, where do they go? They return to their homes. They feel like the last 3 years have been a waste. They return to their old hobbies and enjoyment of fishing until the resurrection. And with fresh power in their wings, they turn the world upside down with the message of the gospel. Christ is crucified and buried. They think it's done. They've killed our Lord. They killed our Master. They killed the miracle-working Messiah. We thought he was Messiah. They forgot. After 3 days, he said he would rise again. It's always darkest before the dawn. And we see that here in this hymn that we've talked about this morning by Henry Longfellow. He is dark, he is down, and then God, by his power, brings him back up. And God used this author to pen a hymn that would encourage millions throughout the years, and it is an encouragement to us today. And Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, was no stranger to discouragement. And Charles Spurgeon said, "The Lord is revealed in the backside of the desert, while his servant keepeth the sheep and waits in solitary awe. The wilderness is the way to Canaan. The low valley leads to the towering mountain. Defeat prepares for victory. The raven is sent before the dove. The darkest hour of the night precedes the day dawn. The mariners go down to the depths, but the next wave makes them mount to the heaven. Their soul is melted because of trouble before he bringeth them to their desired haven." Don't be discouraged. God has a purpose, and often it's always darkest before the dawn. Then let me give you a fifth and final point. Don't give in, and don't give up. Don't give in to your discouragement, and don't give up on life. There are so many suicides around the Christmas holiday because of loneliness, because of stress, because of pressures, that people give in to their thoughts and decide to end it all. Can I tell you, can I plead with your soul, if that's you? If you are contemplating such a thing, don't give in. And don't give up. Don't give in to the devil's whispers to quit seeking God through prayer. Don't give in to the devil's whispers to quit seeking God through his word. Don't give in to the devil's whispers of quitting worshiping and serving the Lord collectively as a body of believers. The Bible says, as we look about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, perhaps the darkest time in his life, the Bible says when Jesus was in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And we need to learn from that. When we are in agony, what we need to do is pray more earnestly. We need to seek God more earnestly. Why? Because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for the storms that you are enduring. You may not know about it. You may not see the end result. But as we see from this testimony regarding this hymn writer, he never wrote that hymn thinking that it would be talked about hundreds of years later. He wasn't writing to become famous. He was just dealing with a sincere problem in his life. And God helped him. And God is now using it as an example in our life. Suppose he gave in to discouragement and committed suicide. We would not have that hymn in our hymn book, nor would we have the great testimony of God coming to his aid. Let me tell you this, God wants to bless your life more than you can imagine. And you may not see it now in the darkness of the storm, but it is true. He wants to bless us exceeding above all that we could ever ask or think. Are you suffering from the Christmas blues, from discouragement, from depression? Are you downcast in spirit? Are you asking yourself the question the psalmist asked, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" Keep these five things in mind. Your struggles are not abnormal. God knows and cares. Others care and are here to help. It's always darkest before the dawn. And don't give in and don't give up. And if you're here today and you struggle, not just the Christmas season, and not just from time to time, you struggle with this always. It seems that you can never fight off discouragement. It seems that you are always in the midst of a negative storm. It feels like you seek the Lord and it's dead, it's cold, and your heart has never rejoiced in God as your Savior. It may be that you need salvation. It may be that things have been dark and things are dark and you've never seen the light of day. You've never tangibly felt hope within your soul. It's because you may not know the one who gives peace. You've never met the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace who gives us the gospel of peace. That peace that passes all understanding. Jesus Christ came to earth. And he came to earth not to give us a greeting card. He came to earth to give us eternal salvation. Jesus came not so that we might have a holiday, so that we might have a Savior. Is Christ your Savior this morning? Have you found the joy that is in him? The Bible says the joy that is in Christ is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And even through the darkest of storms, and even through all these realities, we see that the Christian has hope because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And we can go through the darkest of nights because Jesus said he will not leave us nor forsake us. The unbelieving world does not have those promises. God may be there and available. He can hear their cry if they repent and turn to him in salvation. But the promise of his presence is only given to his people, to those who have believed on his name. So let me encourage you, if you are still without God and without hope in this world, and you see no purpose for living, you don't know why you're here, you don't know the purpose of life, understand, God has created you, he has you here for a reason, and the purpose of your life is to love Christ, to honor him, and to be a bright and burning witness for his name.